The Senate will please come to order. The clerk will call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick,
here.
Devlin, Dingfelder, Edwards, Farioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Brzezanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, President Courtney.
The colors will be posted today by the Sons of Union Veterans Reserves, Edward D. Baker Camp, the Uniform Ceremonial Branch of the Sons of Union Veterans of the Civil War. I pledge allegiance to the For our invocation today, let us please observe a moment of silence to honor Senator Edward Dickinson Baker and all the men and women in uniform from Oregon who have served our nation in the armed forces. On behalf of the Senate, I want to thank the Sons of Union Veterans Reserve for posting the colors today. First Lieutenant Steve Bechart, who is the officer and bugler, First Sergeant Mark Stevens, guard, Chaplain D.H. Shearer, color bearer John Baker, and color bearer Gary W. Courtesies of the Senate. Colleagues, it is Senator Girard's birthday today. So it's time. Senator Morris and Senator Farrioli, it's up to you.
Senator Girard, please join me in singing happy birthday to our beloved Senator Fred Girard on his birthday today.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Freddie. Happy birthday to you.
Colleagues, today we will take up a Senate concurrent resolution honoring a former senator, the late Senator Jeanette Hamby, who some of us knew very well. For courtesies today, we have on the side aisle her daughter, Tanya Karaher, and her granddaughter, Kellen Karaher, and her grandson, Connor Karaher. Connor, yes. And also her daughter, Tara Holmes, and her son-in-law, Dwight Holmes, and their children, Derek Holmes and Brianna Holmes. So courtesies of the Senate are extended to you, as well as to Jim Hill, a former representative, and Senator Hamby's former legislative assistant. Further courtesies. Recognize Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam President. I have two people to whom I'd like you to extend courtesies today. Sitting to my right is Jennifer Streeter. Jennifer is a senior at Willamette, right across the street, who's interning in our office. She's majoring in women's and gender studies and minoring in politics. And she has an absolutely adorable two-year-old son named Preston, whom we've had the pleasure of meeting in our office. Please join me in extending the courtesies of the Senate to Jennifer, who's been very helpful to us.
Jennifer, welcome to the Senate, and courtesies are extended. And you had another one,
Thank you, Madam President. To my left is Magana Calavar. Magana is a senior at Jesuit High School from my district and is very interested in Indian dance and is the president of a nonprofit that supports schools in third world countries. Please join me in extending courtesies of the Senate to Magana.
Magana, welcome to the Senate, and courtesies are extended to you. And I think we have in the gallery a group of students from Holt Elementary in Eugene. Yes, I can see by their body language, that is them. So please welcome to the Capitol, and courtesies are extended to you. I recognize Senator Winters.
Thank you, Madam President. Please extend courtesies to the family and friends of Terry Frohmeyer, who were here to listen to her honor today, as well as Terry's coach, Al Cross, who at 80 years young is still bringing out the best in his students.
Courtesies are extended to you, and welcome to the Capitol. Recognize Senator Starr.
Thank you, Madam President. I have two courtesies I'd like to have recognized this morning. Two young ladies from my district are here. Noelani Gonzalez, she's from Cornelius. She is a junior at Glencoe High School. One of her favorite things to do outside of her studies is to sing. So I'd like to have courtesies extended to Noelani. She's sitting with Senator Whitsitt at Senator Whitsitt's desk. Sitting with me is Savannah Loberger. Savannah is a junior at Hill High, and her favorite thing to do outside of her studies is robotics. So I'd like to have the courtesies of the Senate extended to my two guests from my district. Thank you, Madam President.
Two very interesting guests. Welcome to the Capitol, and courtesies are extended to you. Recognize Senator Bates.
Thank you, Madam President. I ask you to extend the courtesy of the Senate to Chloe Staten. Chloe is a winner of the Prudential Award you're going to hear more about later this morning. Chloe also, 3 years ago, had a life-threatening cancer, and she's a cancer survivor from that. She's a brave young lady. I haven't had a chance to know her very long, but I've been impressed already. She's an eighth grader at Talent Phoenix Middle School. She loves to play volleyball. She says her passion is working out, which is something I should get passionate about. And her favorite subject is math. So welcome to the Capitol. Please extend courtesies to her. She's a brave young lady and one that we need to recognize in our society, because we have a lot of these kids around and we dwell on the negative too much. It's great to dwell on the positive for a change. Thanks for coming up here, Chloe.
Chloe, you picked the perfect person to sit with today, and welcome to the Senate, and courtesies are extended to you. Recognize Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Please extend courtesies to a delegation from the U of O that we have with us today. We'll be honoring them a little later with the resolution. But at my desk with me is Bob Berdahl, who's the interim president of the University of Oregon. On the side aisle, we have the Duck, and two of the members of the winning Rose Bowl team, DeWitt Stuckey and Brandon Hanna. Both are seniors and graduating. We also have Kyle Weiss, the assistant director of the football operations, Courtney White, director of state affairs, and Betsy Boyd, an associate vice president for public affairs at the university. Please extend courtesies.
President Bernal and all the delegation, especially the Duck, welcome to the Oregon Senate. I am a former Duck myself. Actually, I guess you're never former. Welcome to the Senate to you all, and courtesies are extended to you. Recognize Senator Borquist.
Madam President, I'd ask that courtesies be extended to Zachary Odegaard, who's here on my right. He's in the awards later today. He's in the Polk County 4-H. He's involved in the American Cancer Society Relay every year. He's homeschooled now. He likes photography, and he wanted to make sure everybody knows he knows about robotics and computers, too. But he actually has something that will be beneficial to the chamber here. He loves metal detecting, so I'm going to challenge him to find some gold here in the building to help out with the budget.
Okay, further courtesies. Remonstrances. Messages from the House.
Mr. President, I am directed by the co-speakers to inform you the House has passed Senate Bill 1544, 1580, adopt House Concurrent Resolution 206.
Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.55 sub 1, committee report summaries 37, 38, 39, and 40 were distributed to members February 23rd, and 41 was distributed today. This information will be recorded in the Journal and Status Report, so ordered. Propositions and motions. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam President. I move that consideration of SCR 210, SR 201, SCR 209, and HCR 204 be taken from their places on today's third reading calendar and be made special orders of business immediately.
Senator Rosenbaum has moved that consideration of SCR 210, SR 201, SR 209, SCR 209, and HCR 204 be taken from their places on today's third reading calendar and be made special orders of business immediately. To your motion.
Thank you, colleagues. All of these resolutions have numerous groups and family members here today to see them discussed and passed, and so this will allow us to take them up without further ado.
Colleagues, we have various groups and family members gathered here today to witness these resolutions. I want to welcome all of them. Is there any discussion on this motion? We will vote on this by voice vote. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed, no. The motion has passed. Clerk will read the resolution.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 210, in memoriam of Jeanette Hamby, 1933-2012.
Recognize Senator Burdick. Senator Burdick, are you going to carry Senator Burdick? Senator Jenny Burdick, please.
I will open, Mr. President. Thank you very much. Colleagues, Senate Concurrent Resolution 210 honors one of our former colleagues that a few of us remember, Senator, that my co-carrier remember her, And Senator Nelson remembers her. We were the only ones here in the Senate during her final session in 1997. But that was a memorable session. She was truly a memorable and extraordinary woman. And that is why I'm so proud today to be carrying Senate Concurrent Resolution 210, honoring Jeanette Hamby. Jeanette Hamby was born in Minnesota, in a town I really can't pronounce, but I'll try, Beowabik, Minnesota, and she was raised in Virginia, Minnesota. She grew up in the mining town of Virginia, and then she moved to Hillsboro, where we all knew her. She earned a bachelor's degree in nursing and public health education from the University of Minnesota, a master's degree from Oregon Health and Sciences University, and a doctorate in vocational and career education from Oregon State University. And she was a public health nurse and an educational vocational counselor for many years until she got elected to the Hillsboro School Board as the first woman to hold that office in 1971. And then, about 10 years later, she was recruited to run for the Oregon House by Senator Hatfield and Senator Nancy Riles, State Senator Nancy Riles, who were giants in their own right, and they recognized the potential that Jeanette Hamby had. After serving one term in the House, Jeanette Hamby moved over to the Senate. Her first session was 1983, and she distinguished herself as a truly independent, courageous person who operated beyond party lines. She operated beyond ideological lines. She operated according to her own principles and what she felt was the right thing to do for her district and Oregonians. I first met Senator Hamby when I arrived in my first elected office here in the Senate in 1997. I was in part of a 10-person minority in the Senate. I didn't know what I had walked into. And very early on in the session, I saw this extraordinary, elegant woman stand up over there on a bill, and she struck a pose, and she said, "Colleagues," and that's the way she started her floor statement. Once she started a floor statement, you really did not know what was going to happen in that floor statement, because she was not bound by any ideological principles or party principles. She truly operated on her own internal compass. She was a fervent defender of the underdog, whether it be abused children, whether it be prisoners, whether it be migrant workers. And you could always count on Senator Hamby to stand up and defend those people. One of the underdog classes that she defended, and this was a session before I got here, but I heard the story very early in my career, was the plight of the female Senate pages. The president of the Senate at that time decreed that the Senate pages had to wear skirts. They couldn't wear pants. And as we all know, especially the women among us, wearing skirts isn't just a matter of wearing skirts. We're talking heels, hose, you know, the whole nine yards. And the upshot of this is it's hard to walk around all day in all this getup. And in those days, we were a paperwork jungle. So the pages had to run all over the building carrying papers here and there. And so Jeanette Hamby saw this as a serious issue. And so the day after she found out about this, she showed up on the Senate floor in black leather pants and a hot pink blouse. And for those of you who knew her, Jeanette Hamby could pull this off. And she stood up under the order of remonstrances, and she protested the fact that these poor pages had to run all over the building carrying paper in high heels and skirts. The next day, the order was removed. And that was just one example of the kind of results that Senator Hamby got just by defending the underdog and doing what she thought was the right thing. She was also, for those of us who knew her, she was an extremely elegant woman. She was always perfectly dressed. So it was hard to understand that she was also a very frugal person. I'm told that she used to spend hours in the discount clothing shops getting just the right clothes. Of course, she could have dressed in a burlap bag and she still would have looked fabulous. But she was always very well put together, very frugal. That showed up in her Senate career in all kinds of ways. She was a founder of the audit committee. She really was a great believer in government accountability, in transparency, and really focused a lot on that in her career. But her frugal nature took some interesting turns because she was also extremely creative. And one of the things that really bothered her was the amount of money that we were spending on prisons. And that has been an issue that continues today. So she came up with the idea that the government had all these surplus items, including a few battleships. And so she looked into the situation and she decided that the solution to this costly prison problem that we had was to get a couple of these battleships and put them offshore and house the prisoners there. And then you wouldn't have to worry about guards or fences or anything. And it just made total sense to her. So she pushed and pushed and pushed on this, and she just couldn't make any headway. So finally, the president of the Senate at that time was Brady Adams, and he just wasn't letting her get it done. And she really wanted to get it done. And she wanted to get an appropriation in that session's Christmas tree bill to allow her to buy a surplus ship to at least try out this system. So they were really struggling on what to do. And Jessica Adamson, who is sitting at my desk today, who was her legislative assistant at the time, tells me the inside story, which is Senator Hamby had a model ship in her office. So she took that ship, this is in the closing days of the session, and we all know how that is. She took the ship and they made a sign that said the USS Brady Adams. And they took that labeled ship and they left it in Senator Adams' office on his desk. And the next day, the appropriation appeared in the Christmas tree bill. And had the governor lacked line item veto authority, we would have a prison ship. That was one of the few things that she focused on that didn't quite work out. She had a tremendous support system in her home life with her husband Gene and her two beautiful daughters who I introduced earlier today. And she had the joy of her grandchildren. And her husband, Gene, is, I hope, watching this online. If not, he'll see the DVD. And I hope that he is extremely proud of the attention that she's getting, the well-deserved attention, for a truly extraordinary, elegant, classy, principled woman. So I urge your aye vote.
Recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I have the unique privilege of representing Hillsborough, the city that Senator Hamby represented. I stand here today to recognize Senator Hamby for her courage, her principled stance on issues. She was certainly independent. She was bipartisan. She recognized that every member on the Senate floor had important things to offer. I think she worked across the aisle maybe more than virtually anyone else that has served on this floor. Senator Burdick had told the story of the Navy ship prison idea. I think that is the idea that Senator Hamby was outside of the box thinking about solving problems to Oregon. She represented Hillsborough well. She represented the state of Oregon well. She represented the Oregon State Senate well. She was a unique and principled woman. She is worthy of recognition and honor. She broke a lot of the barriers that people that are sitting on this floor are beneficiaries of today. For me personally, the idea that that balance is a good thing, I can lay at Senator Hamby's feet. Going too far one way or the other isn't necessarily positive for our state. She set that standard. She was a mentor to many that I know, and I think she will be missed for sure. I'd ask for a unanimous yes vote on Senate Concurrent Resolution 210. Thank you, Mr. President.
I recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I think Senator Ferraioli, Senator Burdick, and I served with the good Senator Hamby, and the biggest thing about her is her sense of humor. I mean, she did the battleship thing, but it was serious, but she also had a sense of humor about it. So she, you know, pushed that forward and actually succeeded to a great extent, and probably it's not a bad idea. We've spent millions of dollars and billions of dollars on our prison system, and maybe, you know, she had the right idea on that thing. The other thing about her was she was a great technology person. People don't realize that. When we came in 1997, our electronic equipment consisted of IBM Selecto typewriter. You know, it had the little round ball and everything came down to this typewriter. She was really the first of the technology gurus in the Oregon Senate, and she, along with former Senator Gene Timms, did a bunch of things. They set up the archive system out in Burns, Oregon. I don't know how that got out there, but got out there in some particular way. And, you know, she set the stage for the fact now that almost all of us have computers. We don't do the old file system. She was just ahead of her time, and she was just doing some really wonderful things, and it was just a great honor to serve with her. So to her family, congratulations, and we're sorry for her loss, but she did a great job when she was here in the Oregon Senate.
Recognize Senator Rod Monroe.
Thank you, Mr. President. I had the privilege of serving with Jeanette Hamby from when she got here in 83 until I left in 89. She was a truly classy lady. I remember she supported all of my public health and safety efforts, and that was kind of my mentor in those days. But she is certainly will go down and as a legacy senator, along with her good friend, Senator Nancy Riles, who served at the same time.
Further discussion? Senator Ferraioli, Ted Ferraioli, do you wish to close, please?
Well, thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I may have a slightly different view, different vision of Senator Hamby, and I'm pleased to share it with you this morning. I sat in the desk that is currently occupied by Senator Cruz, and Senator Hamby sat in the desk that is currently occupied by Senator Girard. And in those days, in the closing days of the last century, senators, newly elected senators particularly, were to be seen and not heard. They were treated with the deference due of any freshman, and I'm speaking directly to Senator Steiner Hayward in this regard. They were not to be obstreperous. They were to be easily and quickly corrected. They were to be demonstrated to about the decorum of the floor. And if they stepped out of line, the admonitions were swift and sometimes physical. Now, let me explain. And Jessica Adamson, I'm so pleased to see that you're here today because you could bear testimony to this issue. Senator Hamby sat at her desk and she kept up a constant monologue of critique, possibly for my benefit, but actually for anybody who could hear this. And if you ever heard Senator Hamby's voice, you'd never forget it. It was a low, gravelly growl. And when she wanted to emphasize the point, she did it without hesitation and without caring about criticism that might be offered. She would lean forward and ask me, "Senator Farioli, how are you going to vote on this bill?" And I would, I knew that this was a test. And I would lean back and I would say, "Well, I'm going to vote one way or the other on the bill." And she'd ask me why, and I would tell her. And I would turn back to my desk and look at my file, and half of the time, I would be slapped in the back of the neck with a rubber band fired from, with deadly accuracy, I might add, from the fingertips of Senator Jeanette Hanby to register her discontent with either my answer or my vote or both. Once in a while, I think that rubber band contained a paperclip. She was a pistol. I don't know how many people realize that on any given Sunday, you might find Jeanette Hanby at the Portland International Speedway driving a race car. She was that kind of person. She pushed boundaries. She pushed buttons. She pushed limitations. She pushed for all of the kinds of freedoms that Oregonians love and enjoy. Yes, she did try to get us interested in not spending a lot of money that should go to other more needful services on building prisons. She accurately foresaw that we would have a difficulty with funding those facilities and that that would consume a greater and greater portion of the state budget. She was serious. She was prophetic. She also, let me clarify a mystery. Let me to pull aside the curtain and allow people to understand how the high technology backup center called the Warm Center got located in Burns, Oregon. Senator Timms was the chairman of Ways and Means. That's how it got located in Burns, Oregon. But at the end of the day, on these discussions, Jeanette Hanby was well ahead of her time. There still is no reason why the functionality of a backup system can't work just as well in Burns as it does anywhere. And the hilarious part of this is that she understood that nanotechnology and high-speed technology and electronic technology doesn't operate at the speed of the legislature. It operates at the speed of light. She got it. Most of us still don't understand this. But at the end of the day, the Warm Center is cold now. Just a memory of possibility. We miss Jeanette Hanby for her wit, her distinctive approach to life, her verve, her joie de vie. I don't miss the fact that nobody's shooting me in the back of the neck with rubber bands, although some of my colleagues think that probably would be a good thing if that happened occasionally. But we're here to honor her. It's altogether fitting that we do that. I will never forget the way she was able to reach not only across the aisle, but across the state to do good work for Oregonians. So please join all of our colleagues today in conveying to the family our deep appreciation for her service and our reminder to all Oregonians that Jeanette Hanby was here. She made a difference. And so please, on Senate Concurrent Resolution 210, let us return a unanimous vote in appreciation of Senator Jeanette Hanby. Thank you, Mr. President.
The question now rises upon a third reading, the final passage of SCR 210. Those the opinion bills shall pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Shields. Starr. Steiner Hayward. Telfer. Thompson. Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder, Edwards, Farioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morris, Nelson, Olson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 aye votes.
SCR 210, have received a country majority, is cleared passed. I had the honor and privilege to serve with Representative Jeanette Hanby in the House too long ago, and I was not happy when she left the House so fast to come over here to the Senate, and I told her that, because she had the ability to calm me. And you've heard the word balance, and of across the aisles used, I could not wait for her to come visit me and to give me an opportunity to sign on with bills with her and or to testify in front of committees with her. I really liked her very, very much as a person. I think she brought out the best in this institution in terms of this bipartisan thing that we struggle with and do the best we can to reach on occasion. And I remember when they brought me word that she had passed away, and I had not seen Jeanette in a long time. That was very sad. But as I say, early on, I'm having flashbacks to 1981 in the House, and there was Jeanette talking to me the way you've heard some of the colleagues here talk about her, but she just had this way. She could work me. She could really work me. And she's a dear person, a great legislator, a great human being. So I want the family and friends to know how much we extend our sympathies to you, but also how much we honored her, and she was an extraordinary legislature. And the Oregon State Senate has, just through its unanimous vote, paid Senator Jeanette Hamby, through its vote on SCR 10, its ultimate tribute. So I think it's a good day for the Senate. And Jeanette, I hope you're looking down from a high and understanding what we've done here today. You were a great one. The clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Resolution 201, recognizing, honoring, celebrating winners of and distinguished finalists for 2012 Patterson Prudential Spirit of Community Awards.
Recognize Senator Elizabeth Steiner Haywood.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, we are often told that serving our community in whatever way is possible is one of the most important things we can do. We've all chosen to serve by sitting on the floor of this chamber. Today, we are fortunate to honor six young people, five of whom you've already met, and one of whom I'll introduce and is watching us live, who have taken this to a new level. We are very, very pleased to honor Alexander Stork from Klamath Falls, who's watching on TV, Chloe Staton, who you met with Senator Bates, Nolani Gonzalez from Cornelius with Senator Starr, Magana Calavar with me, Savannah Loberger from Hillsborough, and Zachary Odegaard from Dallas, who have received, Alexander and Chloe were the two of the national winners of the Prudential Community Service Award, Spirit of Community Awards. This is an award that's been going on for 17 years in combination between Prudential Financial Services and the National Association of Secondary Schools. Over 26,000 young people across the nation were honored for this award. We had two winners and four distinguished finalists here in Oregon. I'm going to tell you very briefly about what they did because I am so impressed by their commitment to serving our community. Alex, who's a senior at Klamath Union High School, co-founded a youth advisory board that supports and promotes the local activities of SMART, which you all know, the Start Making a Reader Today statewide youth literacy program. Alexander and 44 other teen board members read one-to-one to young people and served as role models. In addition, they created and hosted two very successful and, might I say, very creative community-wide events in partnership with a local bookstore to raise awareness of SMART, recruit volunteer readers, and show kids how exciting reading can be. They did this by dressing up as SMART superheroes and standing out there and meeting the kids. Alex writes that in freezing temperatures, there was a line three blocks long waiting for access into the bookstore to meet the swell SMART superheroes. Chloe is an eighth grader at Talent Middle School, where she raises money and recruits volunteers to help children with cancer and their families. Chloe is a cancer survivor herself. And instead of, you know, guys know me, I tear up easy when I hear stuff like this. Instead of sinking away and saying, okay, I'm done, Chloe said, I don't want other kids to suffer the way I did. And she has spoken at a torch relay to motivate over 1,500 kids to raise money for a children's hospital, participated in the Children's Miracle Network Radiothon by giving interviews and answering pledge calls. She sews scarves to raise money for families, brings things to hospitalized children, and organizes holiday parties and events. And she said quite rightly that doing this helps take away some of their fear, which I'm sure it does. In addition, Nolani from Cornelius is a junior at Glencoe, and she raised $2,000 selling Hope for Japan t-shirts to support the victims of the earthquake and tsunami in Japan last March. She donated the funds to Medical Teams International, who are over there helping rebuild the country. Megana, who sits here with me, is, like me, a Girl Scout and a member, a senior at Jesuit. She raised more than $3,500 in a Dance for the Cause event to support the building of a new school in rural India. As I mentioned, she's the president of a nonprofit that helps raise money for schools in third world countries. She also conducts drives for school supplies and actually delivered these donations in person last summer. Savannah Loberger from Hillsborough, she's a junior at Hillsborough High, raised $5,000 to support Girls Get It, actually Innovative Technology, IT, which is an all-girls STEM, science, technology, engineering, and math day camp that she created. She started the day camp after being the only girl in her robotics club, created the curriculum, taught classes, recruited volunteers, and managed the publicity that reached the 37 girls who attended the camp. As a scientist myself, I'm particularly appreciative of young women who reach out and engage other girls in science activities. Finally, last but most certainly not least, Zachary Odegaard of Dallas is a member of the Polk County 4-H and a freshman at Dallas High School, and he helps raise money to support cancer research as the youth chair for the American Cancer Society's Relay for Life event. Zachary's main responsibility as youth chair is to organize young people to walk in the event. He spent the last 4 years, now mind you, this young man is only 15, so he started this when he was 11, visiting local schools and other organizations to recruit walkers. These young people have quite rightly been honored for their service to our community, and it gives me great pleasure to join with my colleagues, Senators Bates, Whitsitt, Starr, and Boquist, to bring you this resolution to show them that we here in the Oregon Senate recognize and appreciate their service to our communities. I urge your aye vote. Thank you, colleagues.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Whitsitt.
Thank you, Madam President. I just want to take a moment to personally congratulate Alexander Stork. He's helping young students to learn how exciting and rewarding reading can be. Alec can't be here today because he's participating with his team in a basketball game. Madam President, Alex is a great example of what Oregon futures can, how Oregon's a great example of what the future leaders of Oregon can and should be. Thank you very much.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Steiner Hayward, do you wish to close? She does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of SR 201. Those of opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson? Bates,
aye.
Beyer,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
Burdick,
aye.
Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Bonas Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Prozanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Shields,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
30 aye votes.
SR 201, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. Recognize Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam President. This is the appropriate time to do the concurrence.
Correct.
Sorry, we need to finish the special order business.
Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I unrecognize Senator Shields, and I do recognize Senator Winters. My apologies, colleagues.
Okay. The clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 209, recognizing and honoring achievements of Terry Jean Frohmeyer.
And I, Senator Jackie Winters.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, it is my pleasure to speak to you about a member of my Salem community and the state of Oregon, who is seated with me this morning, Terry Jean Frohmeyer. Terry Jean Frohmeyer played her heart out last September, and because of her achievement, Oregon now is the home of the senior women's amateur golf champion. And for those who haven't seen it, the big trophy sits over to my right. there, and it took a lot of energy and muscle to bring the trophy here to the chambers. On September 15, 2011, Terry defeated Mina Harden of Fort Worth, Texas. And I understand that and I'm not a golfer, but in golf parlances, that she was the favorite. And our little Terry, not only did she beat the favorite, but in winning the golf tournament, it was the first time in the event's 50-year history that this trophy is brought to Oregon. Just to tell you a little bit about Terry, and that's rather difficult because she has a lot of not only experience as the golfer, but in our community, she has played a viable role, whether we're talking about Commission on Children and Families, the Chamber of Commerce, and she's a very active member of this community. But Terry began playing golf when she was 13, at the urging of her mother, Shirley Thornton, who enjoyed playing golf competitively. Terry, while attending Mount Si High School, played on the boys' golf team because the team did not have a girls' golf team at the time. And Terry demonstrated great acumen for golf, playing in the 1973 United States Golf's Junior Tournament, where she lost in the second round to future World Golf Hall of Fame member Betsy King, and winning the 1972 Washington State Golf's Public Links Tournament and the 1974 Pacific Northwest Golf Association Women's Amateur Tournament. Terry's success playing golf led to her receiving scholarship offers from the University of Miami, Arizona State University, and Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. She accepted the offer from Rollins College. Terry demonstrated the same vision and capacity for business and public service that she demonstrated for golf. And at one time, guys, Terry owned 3 car washes and a mail order company that sold automotive accessories. She is, and somebody said had been, but she is a successful broker and real estate investor, contributing to the development of Center 50 Plus, if you've gone out on Portland Road and you've seen that facility for the city of Salem, among other high-profile projects in our community. And as I said earlier, she serves on a number of boards and commissions in our community here in Salem. It's interesting because even though she's an avid golfer, Salem had not picked up her golf clubs for almost 24 years at the urging of her mother and her husband. And her husband, Bill, is one of her biggest fans and biggest advocates. You can only, if you speak to my legislative assistant in my office, he will tell you what an advocate she is. But in any event, that was that encouragement of Terry to go back and do what she had done in her younger years, and she did. And the rest is history, because on September 15th, Terry won the United States Golf Association Senior Women's Amateur Championship. And those of us in this community, when we heard that Terry had won this championship, a championship that she said to us she did not expect, this community here in a very short period of time, I mean moments, the word was out in this community, and if you had been at Illahi Golf Course, which is where Terry spends a lot of her time and practice, it was packed. I happened to have been there the night. We all were just extremely excited because it isn't every day in this state that we get a champion. And I'd like for you to join me in voting aye on Senate Concurrent Resolution 2009.
Discussion? If not, Senator Winters, do you wish to close?
No, but I wish to invite everyone in the chamber to go see this huge trophy that is here. And you do have on your desk a picture of Terry that she graciously made copies for every member here in the chamber that shows the trophy and her win. Thank you, Terry.
Question now arises on third reading and final adoption of SCR 209. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Steiner Hayward.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Whitsitt. Whitsitt. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Yes.
Bates.
Aye.
Beyer.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Edwards,
aye.
Farioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Bonas Anderson,
aye.
Monroe, Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Przanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Shields,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
30 aye votes.
SCR 209, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Concurrent Resolution 204, commending the victory of the University of Oregon's football program in 2012 Rose Bowl.
Recognize Senator Beyer.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I ask you today to join me in honoring the University of Oregon Duck football team. Two members of that winning football team I introduced earlier, DeWitt Stuckey and Brandon Hannon, are here with us today, along with U of O President Bob Berdahl. 2011 was truly a great year for the Duck team and its fans. The team managed to win 11 games and again finished in the top NCAA rankings at number 5. The Ducks exhibited a winning spirit both on the court and off the field. They awoke early in the morning to train, went to classes, and then often topped the day with community service. And this spirit was again brought Oregon into a national spotlight. In the 2011 session, the Ducks played 9 nationally televised games, 3 of which were ranked as the top-rated shows in the nation that week. The nationally televised College Game Day show aired live in Oregon for the 5th consecutive year. And each one of those, as you know, is highly watched and provides a 2-hour promo for not only the university, but our state. Then on January 2nd, thousands of Ducks flocked to Pasadena to watch the Ducks play. And the Ducks gave their fans an exciting and thrilling victory. The Ducks and Wisconsin Badgers combined to score the most points ever scored in a Rose Bowl in 110-year history. And that included the longest run by DeAnthony Thomas. With this resolution, we recognize the University of Oregon football team, the Fighting Ducks, for being crowned the 2012 Rose Bowl champions. And a note that this is the second time the Ducks have been crowned Rose Bowl champions. Of course, the last time was about 100 years ago, in 1917. The University of Oregon was represented in a BCS game for 3 consecutive years, and we're the only university in the country that had that distinction in 2011. The Ducks' performance on the field is truly stunning. We've watched lightning drives, scoring in less than 2 minutes, and the next time following up and scoring under a minute. The energetic style, fast-paced offense, and swarming defense have grabbed people's attention. But there's more to this team. Every member of this team, every student single athlete, has participated in the O Heroes program. It's a community service initiative made up entirely of University of Oregon student athletes. Football players took part in a variety of public services. They visited schools and hospitals, hosted educational workshops, raised money for the homeless, by signing and sending footballs to young, and including signing and sending footballs to young people with cancer, and being pen pals with our service members stationed overseas. But the team performed well in the classroom also. No football team in the Pacific 12 Conference had more total members receiving academic accolades than the University of Oregon. Highlighting the U of O's contingent was offensive lineman Carson York, inclusion in the academic All-American squad. He's a junior lineman, and he already holds an undergraduate degree in advertising and carries a 3.76 GPA as he embarks on his master's degree. The Ducks have brought pride to Oregon. The players have shown themselves to be champions both on and off the field, and their success brings attention to Oregon and joys to fans like me and others in this room. So I ask you, colleagues, to join me today in honoring the Ducks by voting for House Concurrent Resolution 204. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Girard.
Thank you, Madam President. I need to declare a potential conflict.
Please state your conflict.
I'm a longtime season ticket owner of the Beavers.
Your conflict will not be entered in the record.
Thank you, Ms. Now to the bill, please.
To the bill.
Colleagues, I rise in support of this, and I am a sports nut, and I think most of you know that. And between 1917 and the last Rose Bowl, the Ducks squared off in probably the most infamous bowl game ever played, and it was actually against the Beavers. Here is the summary of what happened. The Beavers went into the game 0-10. The Ducks went into the game 0-10. They played to a 0-0 tie, and the game has been forever known as the Toilet Bowl. That's what I got to watch when I was younger, and I swore up and down things had to get better. So that's how far both programs have come. It is not easy to win a Rose Bowl. USC has dominated over the decades. So my hat's off to the Ducks. I'm an ardent Beaver. I'll be rooting for the Beavers next year. But anybody that can win a Rose Bowl, my hats are off to you.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Beyer, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final adoption of HCR 204. Those of the opinion the bill should be adopted will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder?
Aye.
Edwards?
Ferrioli,
George,
aye.
Girard,
aye.
Hass,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz,
aye.
Montes Anderson,
aye.
Monroe,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Brzezanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Shields,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
Steiner Hayward,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
30 aye votes.
HCR 204, having received a constitutional majority, is declared adopted. Recognize Senator Shields, and I really do mean it this time.
Thank you, Madam President. Wouldn't it be the first time that I was unrecognized? Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 1537.
Senator Shields has moved that the Senate concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 1537. To your motion, Senator Shields.
Thank you, Madam President. The House made some reasonable changes to the various windows within the bill, and I urge the Senate to concur in the amendments.
Discussion. There's no discussion. Senator Shields, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of the opinion that the Senate should concur in the House amendments and repass Senate Bill 1537 will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt? Winters? Winters? Atkinson? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Girard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse, Nelson, Olson, Brzezanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Telfer.
Senator Telfer, how do you vote?
Aye. President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1537, having received a constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Action on executive appointments requiring Senate confirmation. Introduction and first reading of Senate measures. Second reading of Senate measures.
Senate Bill 1506, relating to mental health drugs and declaring emergency. Senate Bill 1547, relating to captive insurance and declaring emergency.
Passed to calendar. Third reading of Senate measures. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1559, relating to 911 emergency communications and prescribing effective date.
Recognize Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, 1559B comes from your Committee on Rules on a 4-0 vote and comes from your Committee on Veterans and Military Affairs on a 5-0 vote. Requires the Office of Emergency Management to allocate monies from the Emergency Communications Account to cities and counties for the direct distribution to 911 jurisdictions as directed by the cities and counties. Folks, the water surrounding 911 issues may be filled with piranhas, but this particular bill doesn't throw another fish into that drink. It's intent of the legislation that cities and counties will receive the same share of 911 tax revenues, and the bill should not change the way their bill is calculated or the way they pay to their PSAPs. Cities and counties will retain the right to direct their 911 dollars to the PSAP of their choice. What this bill does provide for is a more efficient cost method of delivering the 911 dollars to PSAPs and reduces the administrative overhead. To that light, if you don't know, there are 246 different jurisdictions going to 49 PSAPs, which happen quarterly. So what we're really doing here is reducing the number of checks cut, percentages, and everything else by 984 payments per year. So we're trying to improve some administrative overhead here. Under this measure, the funds are allocated to the cities and counties, but they are paid directly to the 911 jurisdiction. So it's the responsibility of that 911 jurisdiction to spend the funds only for purposes that are authorized by the law. If a 911 jurisdiction spends the money on something else, it has the responsibility to repay what it is misspent. The 911 jurisdiction is operated by an entity other than the city or the county for which the funds are allocated, then the entity that operates it gets to repay it if there's a problem. This is really a good housekeeping bill. It's been around twice. I urge your aye vote.
Discussion. Not Senator Boquist, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 1559. Those with the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as your names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Berger. Whitsitt. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Beyer.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Edwards. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Shields. Starr, Steiner Hayward,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
Not answering, Atkinson,
yes.
30 aye votes.
Senate Bill 1559, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
House Concurrent Resolution 206 in memoriam Officer Buddy Ray Heron, 1969-2011.
Referred to the Rules Committee. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 479 relating to energy incentive programs, prescribing effective date. House Bill 4110 relating to investment in companies doing business in Iran, declaring emergency. House Bill 4141 relating to Workforce Development Legislation Advisory Committee, declaring emergency.
Passed to calendar. Third reading of House measures. The clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 4016 relating to harm to a child.
Recognize Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, as you will all remember, unfortunately, there was a very, very shocking and horrifying incident well east of us this past year where it was found that somebody who was very trusted with children, a football coach, was alleged on multiple occasions to have been witnessed abusing children. And yet these actions were not really referred to the police or investigated in any length until many, many children had been hurt. Fortunately, Our colleagues, Representative Gelser from the other side, has a strong commitment to protecting children, and she brought this bill to us to expand the definition of who in Oregon is a mandated reporter. And for those of you who need a little reminding about what a mandated reporter is, you are. Currently, under state law, any elected state official, any teacher, any healthcare professional is a mandated reporter. The list goes on. Police officers, obviously. However, coaches, other people like the school secretary who works with children, people like that are not mandated reporters. What House Bill 4016 does is it adds, significantly broadens the definition of who is a mandated reporter. One of the things we heard was compelling testimony in committee is that oftentimes it's the fact that we have multiple reports on one child that really triggers an investigation. So having many people who have the obligation to report on children they suspect are being abused will increase the likelihood that these children receive the protection that they need and deserve from us as quickly as possible. In addition, a point that I hadn't even occurred to me is this. We're doing a great job in Oregon of getting students to start at our community colleges while they're still in high school. These children are minors and therefore potentially victims of child abuse, and yet community college instructors have historically not been included on the list of mandated reporters. They now will be. The Community College Association strongly supports this bill, as does the Oregon University system. All of us recognize our duty to protect vulnerable children from people who do not treat them with the respect, dignity, and physical protection that they deserve. Colleagues, this bill will stand for our children, will protect our children, and I urge your aye vote. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. If not, Senator Hayward, Steiner Hayward, do you wish to close? She does not. Recognize Senator Mona Sanderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, House Bill 4016, it really will help all adults recognize their responsibility to protect our kids. In 2010, about 75% of child abuse and neglect reports in Oregon were made by those required to report by law. It is clear, very clear, that mandatory reporting is a very important tool to keep our kids safe. Thank you, Madam President.
Okay, now, any further discussion? Okay, the question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4016. Those are of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk will call the roll.
Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates? Beyer? Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin? Dingfelder?
Aye.
Edwards?
Aye.
Ferrioli?
Aye.
George?
Aye.
Gerard?
Aye.
Hass?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Cruz?
Aye.
Mona Sanderson?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Morse?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Brzezinski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger? President Courtney?
Yes.
30 aye votes.
House Bill 4016, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4021, relating to humane special agents, declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, House Bill 4021 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. Colleagues, what this is basically going to do is maintain the system that we have for individuals that are serving as humane special agents. But instead of being under the charge or authorization from the governor, they will be under the superintendent of state police. This will allow the state police superintendent to have the authority as to appointment based on the certain criteria being met. If that criteria is met, then they are required to appoint. The superintendent also has the ability to revoke. I think it's very important, Madam President, to put on the record that everything else is going to stay status quo, including that the Oregon Humane Society will be the individuals that would be liable for any conduct or any actions that might arise because of the actions taken by the humane special agents. Also, that any cost for a training and equipment, et cetera, will be borne by that organization. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion. If not, Senator Brzezinski, do you wish to close? He does not. The question rises now on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4021. Those with the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye. Names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, call the roll.
Winters? Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Verger? Whitsitt? President Courtney? Voting no, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, 27 aye votes.
House Bill 4021, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Senator Boquist, for what purpose do you rise?
Vote explanation, Madam President.
Please give your vote explanation.
Thank you, Madam President. I voted yes on the last bill. I voted no when it originally came across before. This is an improvement, in fact, a vast improvement on the bill that I wish we had never passed before, but it is a fact of life. So this is an improvement from what we are doing, despite the fact I'd rather not have it at all.
Further vote explanations. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4041, relating taxation of Indian tribe property and prescribing an effective date.
Recognize Senator Morse.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, House Bill 4041 comes from the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee. I'd like to set the context for this bill by quoting testimony from Mr. Minthorn of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, because I believe it sets the context, understanding for what this bill is about. House Bill 4, and I quote, House Bill 4041 recognizes that tribes are not business entities regulated and taxed by the state government, but governments unto themselves which predate the statehood of Oregon. House Bill 4041 acknowledges that tribes provide services to tribal and non-tribal members alike on reservation and is the best suited entity to provide these services in diverse, often dispersed, rural communities. Tribes provide governmental services yet have lack of the tax base to fund these services and must often use funds from other sources to provide services to the reservation population and tribal members elsewhere. For tribes to provide these services while simultaneously paying tax for the underlying property is fundamentally unfair. House Bill 4041 addresses this unfairness and moves Oregon tax policy towards what is best for supporting services to our communities. End of quote, Madam Chair. And if I apologize if I didn't ask for a request to quote from the testimony, but thank you very much. The bill was also amended in our committee that would create the functional equivalence between the tax treatment of low-income housing projects sponsored by tribal governments and the treatment of low-income housing projects sponsored by other governments serving Oregonians. Colleagues, this is a good bill. It was worked extensively by one of our colleagues, Representative Cliff Bentz, on the other side of the assembly, and it has consensus, and it's just the right thing to do to provide these tax exemptions on property tax exemptions for tribal interests. So, colleagues, I urge an aye vote.
Discussion? If not, Senator Morse, do you wish to close? He does not. The question arises now on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4041. Those the opinion bill should pass will answer aye. Your names are called. Those opposed, no. Clerk, call the roll.
Atkinson? Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Haas? Johnson? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt, Winters, President Courtney, 30 aye votes.
House Bill 4041, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 4057, relating to higher education employees, and declare an emergency.
Recognize Senator Hess.
Thank you, Madam President. Oregon State Senators, last spring, you'll recall, we passed Senate Bill 242, and most of that bill went into effect in January of this year and gave all of our seven universities much more autonomy than they've ever had before, including the safety of their reserves that they're building up from the legislature and a certainty of about where their money will be spent. It also, 242, created some committees to look at the issue of whether university employees should be bound to stay with the same health care plan that they now have or the same retirement plan that they now have. Those committees are working on that, and they needed to come to us in October. But what has happened, because the bill passed at the end of last session, is that they haven't had a good shot at this. They got a late start, and they don't feel like they've had enough time to adequately discuss the options and make good recommendations. So this bill before us today extends their deadline to December 1st. This change will allow them a few extra months to meet and will still allow us enough time to respond if necessary in the next legislative session. So I urge your aye vote.
Discussion. If not, Senator Hess, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4057. Those in the opinion of the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Bates. Beyer. Boquist. Burdick. Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Bonas Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Verger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney, 30 aye votes.
House Bill 4057, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 4063, relating to professional licensure of applicants with military training or experience, and declare an emergency.
Recognize Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, it is my honor to bring House Bill 4063B, which passed the Senate Veterans and Military Affairs Committee on a unanimous vote. House Bill 4063B includes amendments that resolves the conflict that on a recently passed House or recently passed bill, House Bill 4008. House Bill 4063B is designed to recognize the skill sets that veterans of the Armed Forces of the United States have garnered through their experience serving our country. HB 4063B requires that certain professional licensing boards evaluate and accept the education and in some cases the hours served in professional fields during a veteran's military tenure. The professions recognized for reciprocity come from the variety of occupational fields and include private security professionals, teachers, engineers, land surveyors, psychologists, occupational therapists, occupational therapy assistants, physician's assistants, nursing assistants, denturists, chiropractors, physical therapists, medical imaging technicians, hemodialysis technicians, athletic trainers, respiratory therapists, polysomnographic technologists, pharmacists, pharmacy technicians, any field of practice under the Board of Cosmetology, funeral service practitioners, embalmers, polygraph examiners, private investigators, and truck drivers. Colleagues, House Bill 4063B is a jobs bill for veterans who have honorably served our country. Currently, the unemployment rate for post-9/11 veterans is nearly 14%. With the 18 to 24-year-old cohort of these veterans unemployed at nearly 22%. When the 41st Enhanced Infantry Brigade came home from a year-long tour in Iraq in 2010, nearly half of the 3,400 soldiers were jobless. That cohort still suffers incredibly high unemployment. House Bill 4063B is not blazing new trails.
Last year, four states that include Washington, Utah, Colorado, and West Virginia enacted new laws to help recognize the transferability of skills attained through military service and provide reciprocity in the civilian world. In 2012, there are 24 bills in 14 other states like this one. House Bill 4063B is designed so that transferability of veteran skills are recognized in the civilian world after separation from the military. Many times, soldiers have difficulty explaining their training and skills in civilian speak because of the methodology of military training doesn't always line up perfectly with a liberal arts program at a four-year university or a trade school program in community college. By clearing the path for veterans to come straight from the service to and be hired in the field in which the U.S. military spent time and tax dollars training these servicemen and women, we close the unemployment gap for veterans. Further, by supporting this bill, the legislature is helping the middle-class families represented by the veteran population. By saving veterans the time and money associated with retraining for a profession in which they are already trained, the resource of tuition money either paid for out of pocket or through a GI Bill is preserved. In fact, for soldiers who have earned a post-9/11 GI Bill, that benefit is transferable to a child or spouse, putting a college education in the reach of a family who might not otherwise be able to send their own child to a university. The veterans of Oregon have served our state and our country with honor, pride, and dedication. They do not come to the legislature with their hat in hand making significant financial requests. In a time of budget austerity, this is a bill that is free. It has no fiscal impact, and yet the positive fiscal impact of the veteran and their family will be untold. We cannot put a price tag on the value we can return to them for all they have done for us. The Veterans Military Affairs Committee recognizes that we, the committee, are the voice of Oregon's veterans, and we will continue to bring forward bills like this to ensure our veterans are taken care of properly. Colleagues, I ask for your unanimous support for House Bill 4063B.
Discussion. Recognize Senator Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, House Bill 4063 will help Oregon veterans use the skills they learn while serving in the military, serving their country, to get a good job once they've returned home. The rate of unemployment among Oregon veterans is 11.4%. That was in 2011. This is too high, it has remained always higher than the overall unemployment in the state. Many of the unemployed veterans have families to support, families who have sacrificed while their loved ones were overseas, and they deserve help getting back into the job market. Current law creates barriers to employment for veterans whose military experience gives them the skills that should translate into civilian employment. Many veterans today find it costly and time-consuming to qualify for licenses that merely reaffirm professional abilities they have been practicing for years in the military. If you have mastered these skills in the military, if you've mastered these skills in a war zone, you should be able to use them stateside. House Bill 4063 will make it easier for Oregon's veterans to make a living with the skills they already possess. Oregon's men and women in uniform have sacrificed so much to protect us, but many have also learned a lot of valuable skills along the way. Today, we can help our veterans rejoin the workforce faster by removing the barriers to find good-paying work. We really must do more to help those who have risked everything to serve us and protect our country. I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Madam President.
Further discussion. Recognize Senator Johnson.
Thank you. To the bill?
The carrier yield?
Yes. No, to the bill. Thank you. Colleagues, this is a great bill. And perhaps our Oregon example with this bill will motivate the federal government to make it easier for United States military pilots and aircraft mechanics to translate their credentials and experience into civilian certificates in order to pursue their professions when they have concluded their military service to this country.
Further discussion? If not, Senator Olson, do you wish to close? He does not. The question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 4063. Those in opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Beyer. Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick. Burdick.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney?
Yes.
Not answering. Starr?
Excused.
Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4063, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Colleagues, we have six bills left, and we will work our way through the calendar today. The clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4064, relating to communication between state agencies regarding members of uniformed services and prescribing an effective date.
Recognize Senator Boquist.
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill 4064 comes from the House with a unanimous vote via your Veterans and Military Affairs Committee. 4-0 do pass coming across. Requires BOLI to notify the Department of Veterans Affairs when BOLI receives information on a service member that has been discriminated against based on military service, but it does require that service member to give that consent. This is existing practice we do now. We're just codifying it. The reason it's existing practice and we're trying to codify it is the Veterans Administration has some other direct links to mediation services to solve labor complaints. And as the wars disappear and veterans are forgotten, we want to make sure the process is in place 3, 5, 10 years from now to protect those individuals. Good bill, should pass.
Discussion? If not, Senator Boquist, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4064. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morse. Nelson,
aye.
Olson,
aye.
Przanski,
aye.
Rosenbaum, Rosenbaum,
aye.
Shields,
aye.
Starr, Steiner Hayward,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Whitsitt,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
yeah.
Bates,
aye.
Beyer,
aye.
President Courtney,
yeah.
Excused, Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4064, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4072, relating to seasonal fire personnel and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Olson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, House Bill 4072A comes to you from the Senate Committee on Environment and Natural Resources on a 4-0 vote. Basically, this is called a fire and ice bill. It allows the Douglas Forest Protective Association, the Coos Forest Protective Association, or the Walker Range Forest Protective Association to enter into contracts to provide seasonal fire prevention and suppression for personnel to perform off-season services. Basically, what this says is we've got firefighters in the fire season that put out fires, and in the wintertime, they go to work for ODOT and they plow ice. It's a good use of our resources. It's a good use of our state personnel. And it's a good bill and should pass. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion? If not, Senator Olson, do you wish to close? Senator Przanski, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam President. Yes, I need to put a couple things on the record. First of all, I want to pay tribute to the Douglas Forest Protection Association. Not only have they been around for 100 years this year, this is the 100th year of the association, they're also on the cutting edge of using CAMs, meaning camera systems, so they can actually be able to be on top of fires as soon as they occur. It has been a renowned program that is actually being looked at from around the country. Different associations and fire protection units are coming to the state of Oregon to see what they have done here in Douglas County. I know the other associations have also done very well. Lastly, I want to thank the men and women who are willing to serve for these different forest protection associations in the capacity of firefighters and suppression fighters, because we need them, and this is one way to make certain that in the off season they actually have employment. So when we really need them during the fire seasons, they're there to protect the forest that we all love. Thank you, Madam President.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4072. Those with the opinion of the bill should pass will answer aye. The names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Burdick.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Farioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Monis Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Przanski.
Rosenbaum, aye.
Shields,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
Steiner Hayward,
aye.
Telfer,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Whitsitt,
aye.
Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
aye.
Bates,
aye.
Beyer,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
President Courtney,
aye.
Excused, Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4072, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4089, relating to annexation of non-contiguous territory and declaring emergency.
Recognize Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Madam President. House Bill 4089 comes to you on a unanimous vote from your General Government, Consumer and Small Business Protection Committee. The measure allows a property not contiguous to a city to annex to the city if the following conditions are met. The property is within 200 feet of the existing city boundary. The city was under jurisdiction of a boundary commission on January 1st, 2007, which means they're in Lane County. And the property owner acquired interest in the property prior to January 1st, 1973, the year that Senate Bill 100 was passed. And the property owner has signed a contract containing consent to annexation in exchange for provision of city services. Colleagues, this bill only applies functionally in Lane County and really functionally to within the UGB of the City of Eugene. The special districts are neutral on the bill. The City of Eugene approves the bill. It will enable a very temporary pilot program while negotiations continue on some very contentious issues in my fair neck of the woods.
Discussion. Not Senator Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4089. Those with opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Edwards. Farioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morse, Nelson, Olson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Shields, Starr, Steiner Hayward, Telfer, Thompson, Berger, Whitsitt, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Beyer, Boquist, Burdick, President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused. Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4089, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4108, relating to precious material secondhand dealing.
Recognize Senator Edwards.
Thank you, Madam President. I bring to you House Bill 4108. We're at from your Committee on General Government, Consumer and Small Business Protection, where it passed unanimously. This measure establishes record-keeping requirements that precious metal secondhand dealers must follow regarding transactions involving precious metal. Requires precious metal secondhand dealers to hold precious metal items for 7 days before disposing of them. Requires dealers to make items and records available for inspection by law enforcement. Establishes exemptions for city or county jurisdictions identified as having an ordinance that proposes substantially equal or more stringent record-keeping requirements, et cetera, et cetera. This helps law enforcement basically to bust thieves and recover stolen items. It's very reasonable, not onerous. That's why it passed unanimously in the House and out of committee. Hope it does the same here.
Discussion. If not, Senator Edwards, do you wish to close? He does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4108. Those with the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk call the roll.
Dingfelder. Edwards, Farioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson?
Aye.
Cruz?
Aye.
Modis Anderson?
Aye.
Monroe?
Aye.
Morris?
Aye.
Nelson?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Brzezinski?
Aye.
Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr?
Aye.
Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Aye.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes.
Excused. Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4108, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the next bill.
House Bill 4111, relating to sale of real property to enforce lien for local improvements and declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Brzezinski.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, House Bill 4111 came out of your General Government, Consumer, and Small Business Protection Committee on a 4-0 vote. What this bill will do, colleagues, will fix an inequity that's currently in our system for foreclosure processes of unpaid liens on local improvements. Currently, these entities that are going to be doing a foreclosure can only get the money that is actually owed on the lien. So what happens here is you actually have individuals who may have a lot of equity in the property, and they do not receive any of that equity back because the property is sold at the base level and amount that's owed on the lien. This will actually modify and change that and require one- or two-step process to be used. It will be one that will be much more fair, much more equitable, and will actually allow individuals who actually have the foreclosure occur still to be able to recoup equity out of the property that's above and beyond the amount of the lien. Thank you, Madam President.
Discussion? If not, Senator Brzezinski, do you wish to close? He does not. Question rises on final reading, on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4111. Those whose opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as the names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Edwards? Ferrioli? George? Gerard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Modis Anderson? Monroe? Morris? Nelson? Olson? Brzezinski? Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Shields?
Aye.
Starr? Steiner Hayward?
Aye.
Telfer?
Aye.
Thompson?
Aye.
Berger?
Aye.
Whitsitt?
Aye.
Winters?
Aye.
Atkinson?
Yes.
Bates?
Aye.
Beyer?
Aye.
Boquist?
Aye.
Burdick?
Aye.
Devlin?
Aye.
Dingfelder?
Aye.
President Courtney?
Yes.
Excuse. Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4111, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the last bill.
House Bill 4150, relating to Credit Enhancement Fund, declare emergency.
Recognize Senator Modis Anderson.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, I stand in support today of House Bill 4150. With the state's economy in recovery, there are many small businesses across Oregon. They're poised to grow, but they really have difficulty accessing loans. And what House Bill 4150 will allow for the Credit Enhancement Fund to partner with banks that guarantee loans for non-traded sector businesses located throughout the state. This is a great proposal to help small businesses thrive in this recovering economy. The Credit Enhancement Fund, better known as CEF, administered by Business Oregon, it provides loan guarantees to banks in order to help small businesses get access to capital. The program is traditionally used to support financial institutions, community banks, and credit unions that provide loans and working capital to traded sector companies engaged in manufacturing production. The program can also be used to guarantee loans for non-traded sector companies, such as retail stores, in areas that have been designated as distressed. In the wake of the recent economic crisis, the entire state has been designated as distressed for the better part of 2 years. Now, as certain economic indicators improve and counties continue to come off the distressed area designation, some small businesses within these counties are no longer eligible to qualify under the program. While this is welcome news, many small businesses across the state continue to require state and federal assistance to access the capital necessary to support their business needs and continued growth. To achieve this goal, the state received an infusion of federal funding under the State Small Business Credit Initiative to help address the capital needs of these same small businesses. Let's be clear, the primary purpose of the program has been and is going to continue to be on those traded sector companies that generate wealth across the state. But in the short term, it makes sense to have a limited exception in place to address those opportunities that may present themselves over the next 2 years. House Bill 4150 is a short-term exception that allows the department to partner with financial institutions to take advantage of the non-traded sector projects that have the potential to benefit our communities and help the agency to meet these federal requirements. When we invest in Oregon small businesses, there is a payoff for all of us. Focused, practical solutions like this are going to mean job growth and greater prosperity statewide. As this economy begins to rebound, we need to do everything we can to help Oregon small businesses. Standing up for small businesses is the best way to improve our economy and get Oregons back to work. I urge an aye vote.
Discussion? If not, Senator Montes Anderson, do you wish to close? She does not. Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 4150. Those of the opinion the bill should pass will answer aye as their names are called. Those opposed, no. The clerk will call the roll.
Ferrioli? George? Girard? Hass? Johnson? Cruz? Cruz? Montes Anderson? Monroe? Morse? Nelson? Olson? Prozanski? Rosenbaum? Shields? Starr? Steiner Hayward? Telfer? Thompson? Berger? Whitsitt? Winters? Atkinson? Bates? Beyer? Boquist? Burdick? Devlin? Dingfelder? Edwards? President Courtney? Excuse, Starr, 29 aye votes.
House Bill 4150, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Other business of the Senate. Senator Ferrioli, for what purpose do you rise?
Madam President, please return to the order of remonstrance.
Without objection.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, on your desk, you have a handout detailing the life of Edward Dickinson Baker and reminding legislators that we created a statewide memorial to be held each year, February 24th, called the Edward Dickinson Baker Day in Oregon. And this is to commemorate the life and service of Senator Edward Dickinson Baker, who is still today the only seated senator who ever perished in the line of duty in a conflict, bearing arms for his beloved United States of America. Colleagues, I invite you to read through the life history of this Civil War hero from Oregon, who stated when offered promotions to brigadier generalship and major, he declined those honors, and in so declining, he stated this, that he valued the station conferred upon me by the state of Oregon more mightily than any other in the world when Oregon elected him as our U.S. Senator. So this is our hero. This is Edward Dickinson Baker Day, the first ever. We created this. I urge you to participate at 12:30 if you can by visiting the Oregon Veterans Medal of Honor Memorial, where the Sesquicentennial Commission for the Civil War and the Sons of Veterans Reserve will pay honor to the four Medal of Honor recipients who are buried in Oregon. That begins at 12:30, Madam President. So I invite all of our colleagues to be aware of this, and if you can participate, please do. Thank you, Madam President.
Announcements. Recognize Senator Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Madam President. Senate Democrats, please go immediately to get your lunch. We will caucus at 12:25 promptly. We have a lot to cover. 12:25.
Recognize Senator Ferrioli.
Thank you, Madam President. Republicans, we are going to hold a caucus to discuss Senate Bill 1513. That's SB 1513, which will be up in rules today. Please get your lunches and come immediately to the caucus room. Thank you, Madam President.
Okay, and I would ask for your full attention if there, recognize Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Madam President. Colleagues, as a legislative member of the Oregon Commission on Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs, I would like to bring to your attention to a handout that's been placed on your desk. Governor John Kitzhaber has proclaimed Sunday, February 26th, to be Nisei Veterans Day in Oregon. Make sure I say this right. Niseis are second-generation Japanese Americans, and on November 2nd, 2011, the 100th Battalion, 442nd Regimental Combat Team and Military Intelligence Service were honored with a Congressional Gold Medal. These gentlemen volunteered for combat duty during World War II to help their nation win the war and to prove their loyalty while their families were incarcerated in concentration camps at home. Despite this, the storied units of the 100th Battalion, 442nd RCT, and MAS never hesitated to answer the call of duty to defend our country during World War II. So this Sunday, the Oregon Nikai Endowment and the Oregon Nisei Veterans are holding a tribute luncheon at the Multnomah Athletic Club to commemorate the bestowing of the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest civilian honor the federal government can present to the surviving veterans and their families. If you would like to attend the special event, information has been provided on the back of the proclamation. Thank you, Madam President.
Further announcements. There are no further announcements, and without objection, please take note of the new day and time. The Senate is adjourned until 9:30 a.m. Saturday, tomorrow, February 25th.